Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Well, here we are live again. Thank you for tuning in to QLJNradio.com. You have tuned in to The Final Authority. The Final Authority airs live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So every Monday, we air live unless otherwise indicated. Again, I want to thank you for tuning into The Final Authority. And today we are going to be dealing with a topic. We'll be doing part one today, part two the following week. And we'll see, we might end up doing part three, but we will set a close on part two. But what we're going to be dealing with today is, what is so special about the blood of Christ? What is so special about the blood of Christ? And so we're going to pray first, and from there I'll give you the call-in number in case you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question. You know, I express a different view, whatever the case may be. So we're going to go ahead right into prayer immediately and dive right into our subject matter. Well, Holy Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, with whom you are well pleased and greatly delighted. We come, Father, before you, Father, with faith in our heart that's rested upon the authority of your word. We come, Father, having been washed from our sins in the blood of Christ, clothed in his perfect righteousness. We come, Father, confessing to the Lordship of Christ, honoring your Son as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed us to you by his blood. We look to you, Father, as the almighty living true God, our majesty on high, to whom we bow and worship. Father, you are our source, provider, and giver of life. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory for the abundance of grace that you bestowed upon us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the word. We ask, O God, that you would open our eyes, Father, and grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. May the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light, Father. May your word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Your word increase, abound, and multiply in us, through us, to and for the glorification and the exaltation of the name of our Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father God, we give you the glory that you blessed us to have a hearing ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us through the word. In the holy, majestic name of Jesus, we pray, so be it, and amen. Okay, so, what's so special about the blood of Christ? Now, if you have a question or a comment, please call. The area code is 515-605-9768. The number to call in case you have a question or you want to make a comment, please feel free to call area code 515-605-9768. Once you are connected, then at any point in time you want to ask that question or make that comment, press the number one on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my line, The Final Authority. Okay? All right. Okay, so what's so special about the blood of Christ? Now, notice the question. We're not talking about what's so special about a religious institution, about what's so special about a church building, a mosque, a temple, or a synagogue. We're talking about the biblical revelation of what the scripture actually tells us about the blood of Christ. So we don't hear much about the blood of Christ. We have some knowledge about it in coming up. Even coming up, I would hear about the blood of Christ. I didn't fully understand it. I have a better understanding now, what I would say a more mature understanding based upon my understanding of the text of Scripture about the blood of Christ. But what about the blood of Christ? What is so unique about it? Well, one of the things I want to mention is that if you ever read over in the book of Psalms, you'll find out that David said that he was shapen in iniquity. He was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. How was this? He was born in sin. We all were born in sin. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, their nature was then corrupted with sin nature. And so then the blood of man, because see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's something about the blood. And so that sin that's in the blood of man was passed on down from generation to generation onto the human race. And so man is born in sin with a contaminated, corrupted nature. Okay? And so when we look at this, we see that we come to the Messiah. And when it comes to the Messiah, we see it foretold that the Messiah will be born of a virgin. He will be the seed of a woman, and a woman don't have a seed. What does this mean? He is without the seed of a man. And even as we go to the New Testament and reading the Gospel of St. Matthew and the Gospel of St. Luke, we see that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Thus, he did not have the corrupt seed of man in his blood. His blood was so pure, apart from being contaminated. And so this is what makes the blood of Christ so unique. And so we're going to dive more into this. So Christ was born of a woman. All right. He was not the seed of a man. All right. He was born in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not have sinful flesh, but he was born in the likeness of that. Okay. Now, so as we go through scriptures and we read, we find out about blood sacrifices throughout the Old Testament, where the Old Testament priests would offer up animal sacrifices. The blood of bulls and goats would be offered up as a sacrifice on behalf of Israel's sins. And their sins would be covered for that year. Now, when they offer up an animal, the animal sacrifice that they offer up, the animal had to be without blemish. It couldn't be sick or diseased. It couldn't be blind. It couldn't have any physical imperfections about it. Why? Because that animal sacrifice, it typifies the coming perfect sacrifice that was going to be offered up once and for all for the sins of mankind. And so as we go over into the New Testament, and what I want to do, this is very powerful. I'm going to read over in Matthew chapter 26. So if you don't have a Bible, you can write these verses down, but in Matthew chapter 26, all right? We're going to read this verse 27 and 28. And here's Jesus. This is what is called having the Last Supper with his disciples. This is before his actual trial, before he's turned over by Judas into the hands of the Romans. He's going from judgment hall, ultimately was condemned to death by crucifixion. But he's in the upper room having what is called the Passover meal with his disciples. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. So he's sitting down with them. Well, let me back up a little bit here. We're going to look at verse 26. Yeah, verse 26. And as they were eating, this Jesus and the disciples, they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup, so he had a cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave the cup to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood." He says, "My blood of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus here is having this last, what we call this Passover meal with his disciples. He gives them bread. The bread typifies his body. He gives them the fruit of the vine, which typifies his blood, was going to be shed. And so they eat the bread and they drink of the cup. But notice that he said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So here, the message is his blood is going to be shed for the remission of sins. All have sinned. We all have sinned against God. And because you sinned against God, you stand before Almighty God, the living true God, the judge of all the earth, as a guilty sinner. And under the law of God, because you are guilty as charged, then the law of God must then be satisfied by condemning you. And you can't even redeem yourself. But Jesus said that his blood was going to be shed for many for the remission of sins. So his blood has the power to remit or do away with your sins once and for all. So we have that there in Matthew chapter 26. We read that also in Luke's gospel, okay? Now, what I want to do is I'm going to take you over into St. John chapter 6. In St. John chapter 6, this is a very powerful passage. I'm going to take my time over this particular text of scripture here. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking here, and I'm going to start at verse 38. Jesus said, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is my Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." So Jesus is saying, all who the Father has given me, Jesus said that he is not going to lose anyone that was given to him, but he will raise them up even at the last day, dealing with the resurrection in the last day. Then he says, "And this is the will of him that sent me," verse 40, "that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at Jesus because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, 'I came down from heaven'?" Now, let me stop right here. Jesus said, prior to the verses that I read, he said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. And so here, he came down from heaven. How did he come down from heaven? So they said, "Then wait a minute. Is not this Jesus, Jesus, the son of Joseph?" Well, you see, Joseph had married Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Joseph was engaged or espoused to Mary in a union and found out that Mary was pregnant. And so Joseph thought, "Wow, she's pregnant. Then I'm not going to marry her. I'm going to put her away. I'm not going to consummate this marriage union because she's pregnant." But he was a just man. He wanted to put her away privately. And so he didn't want to put nothing on her publicly, to have her be stoned to death and all that. So he went to sleep. And in a dream, the angel of the Lord had appeared to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins." So, yes, Joseph was what we call the adopted father of Jesus, but he had nothing to do with the actual physical birth of Christ because Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary. So these Jews here have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. They rejected the virgin birth because they said, how are you going to come from heaven? And this is, ain't he the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I came down from heaven? All right? So going down a little further, let's go down, skip on down, and let's read on to verse 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, had strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, that's repulsive to a Jew. To eating flesh, how are we going to eat his flesh? Jesus then said unto them, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Wow. What is Jesus talking about? Eat his flesh and drink his blood? So they're thinking physical. Eat his flesh, that would be like cannibalism. Drink his blood? Human blood? So very, very, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Wow. So they're thinking, eat flesh, drink blood, literally and physically. So what did Jesus mean? Now, he knew that that's what they were thinking, and he just added more to it. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you don't do it, you won't have no life, all right, in you. Then so he goes on and says, well, in verse 59, it says, these things Jesus had said when he was teaching in the synagogue. He was in Capernaum. In his teaching in one of the Jewish synagogues in Capernaum. And he had many disciples. So in verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear this? They didn't grab it. They didn't understand what he was saying. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now here it is, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens or gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what is Jesus saying here? See, they're thinking physically, physical body, physical blood, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Jesus tells you in verse 63, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's speaking of his word. His word is eternal. Then he says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, a disciple, so you had several different rabbis, rabbi teachers in Israel, and they went from synagogue to synagogue teaching. And whenever you was in a class under a rabbi, you was considered a disciple, okay? And so he had many disciple students. Many of the disciple students who was hearing Jesus teach in Capernaum in the synagogue did not grasp what he was saying. And it's a hard saying, and they walked away from him, and they didn't walk with him no more. So watch this. Then Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He got it. He knew what Jesus was saying. He knew that he was referring to his eternal word. He says, You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus was using bread and flesh and blood as a metaphor of referring to his words. Just like you eat bread, you partake of it, okay, and you benefit from the bread or the food you eat. He's referring to your truly partaking of him by truly believing on him. That is taking him in totally and completely for who he is. He's more than just a rabbi teacher. He is the divine, unique Son of the living God who came down from heaven. And so eating his flesh and drinking of his blood, that's referring to the spiritual part of your partaking of all who he is. Okay, now, that's pretty strong right here. Now, I want to take you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, this is pretty powerful here. We're dealing with what's so special about the blood of Jesus. One, it's pure, never been contaminated, and it is the life that the Father has put in the blood of Christ. So when we read over in St. John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And it was life. So in his life, all right? Now, this life is eternal life. All right, now I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'll start at verse 3. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he, God, has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now notice in verse 7 that in whom, that's in Christ, we have what? Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. According to the riches of his grace. Christ, blood. What's so special about the blood of Jesus Christ? It is the one and only blood that can bring redemption to your souls. The only blood that can redeem you to the Father. We have redemption through his blood. You don't have redemption just because you went to a church or you did some good works or you've done a lot of good deeds. That may be good in this place. But you must look to what Christ has done. He was conceived of a virgin by the power of the Spirit, took upon human flesh, that pure and holy blood in his body. And ultimately, he was betrayed, turned over to the Romans, and crucified, lifted up on that cross, and on that cross was judged for all of your sins. And the Bible lets us know that he died for all of our sins, and that a Roman guard, well-trained soldier, took a long spear and pierce the side of Christ, and then poured that spirit out, and out came blood and water. All right? So all his blood was spilled out, poured out, shed out from his body. And all this was by divine design, that Christ would come and offer up himself once and for all for you and I for our sin. Christ satisfied the demands of divine justice, and it was only his blood that could redeem man from the judgment of God. It's only his blood that can redeem you from the hand of darkness and back to God. We have redemption through his blood. The question is your faith in his blood? This would make the blood of Christ so far more unique than anyone. There's only his blood that can bring about redemption to the soul of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. His blood can redeem you. So we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So everything Christ did, listen, you get the benefit for it because of his bloodshed. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything was all centered on the redemptive death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm also look at Ephesians chapter 2. And it goes on and says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Wow. So we're looking at it here that at one point we were far away from God. But now, because of what Christ done, his death for our sins, the shedding of all his blood to bring about redemption, we now are so nigh to God by the blood of Christ. So this is what made the blood of Christ so far more unique than anyone. Your faith in his blood. So we have that text of scripture. Now I'm going to take you over to the book of Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. Okay? In Romans chapter 3, Paul dealt with the law of God. The law of God is perfect, holy, and just, and that's mentioned in Romans chapter 7. And so in chapter 3, he tells us that the law, he says in verse 19, we know that whatsoever the law says, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, closed shut, and all the world may become guilty before God. None of us have ever measured up to the perfect law of God. So we're guilty of sin. We stand before God as offenders. Our mouth is shut. We can't say anything in our defense. But as we go on, we see that God had made a provision. In verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short. We never measured up. But then in verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his God's grace through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has put on public display to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in his blood. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. So now we're looking again at the uniqueness of the blood of Jesus Christ, that Christ was the one and only person that the Father God put on public display to satisfy the demands of divine justice, and now is through faith in his blood. The question is, do you have faith in the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for you? So Christ was the one that satisfied the demands of divine justice. you're guilty of God, you will come under the condemnation of God. You can't save or redeem yourself from the judgment of God. Nothing you can do within your own human ability. But Jesus Christ came as an innocent lamb, as it were, willingly laid his life down for you and I, nailed to that cross, and ultimately died for all of our sins and shed all of his blood. All his blood was literally shed forth out of his body for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you back to the Father God. So it's through faith in the blood of Christ. All right? We have a break coming up. Stay tuned in, and we'll pick back up where we left off at after this break. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority. God bless. See you after the break.
Even from my very existence, I knew I was created to be a worshiper. As a child growing up in the church, I may not have knew the plan of God for my life, but I definitely knew that I was purposed. So now as you begin to listen to my musical diary, it is my prayer that you would begin to discern the heart that I have for God. And in discerning the heart that I have for God, get a clear understanding of what you were placed here for as well. Listen.
My life is a testimony. My heart is an open vessel. My will is a bird that yields to your will. My walk is the way you lead. My talk is the words you be. My praise is the sweetest sound to your ear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you, we worship you today, hallelujah, 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 we worship you. Testimony unto you. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no other God for me. There's no other name I give all the praise. So we sing it.
Hallelujah.
Lift those hands and say, come on, let's begin to magnify you.
Hallelujah.
We worship you.
We worship.
Yes, we do.
We worship.
Oh, yeah.
We worship.
We worship. We worship.
We worship.
Because of what you've done,
worship,
not because
worship,
of what you brought us out of, but we worship you because
worship,
of who you are.
What's life like with fast unlimited data? Check it out. With Metro PCS, you step into the latest trend. You like this? Do it.
I'm in a sweet spot. I'm in the clouds.
Share it. Watch it spread. You've been following. Now be followed. Get Metro PCS and enjoy a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S., just like AT&T and Verizon, for less. Switch now and get four lines of unlimited data for $100, period. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Hey, man, well, thank you for staying tuned in to The Final Authority. That song was by Marvin Sapp called Worship. Worship by Marvin Sapp. Also, before I go right back where I left off at, I want to mention to you that if you desire to give a donation, a financial contribution toward The Final Authority, you're not under any obligation. We don't try to, push anybody to do that. But if you desire to, and you want to give a free will contribution toward the work of the ministry here, it will go for the payment of the bill. And you can just go to www.qljnradio.com and then scroll down to the donation button. But must make sure that you earmark it, stating that if you give a donation, this donation is for the support of the Final Authority. Okay? All right. Okay, I also want to mention that we have a ministry called the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California. Currently, the Will of God Christian Center, we are located at 419 Georgia Street, suite number 12. That's in Vallejo, California. And currently, the services are held every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. sharp. 11:30 a.m. sharp, the Will of God Christian Center. We also have prayer every Tuesday, 6 to 6:30, and ministry of the Word of God from 6:30 to 7:30. And then Wednesdays, we have intercessory prayer, 6 to 7 p.m., the Will of God Christian Center. Okay, all right. Dealing with now, back in Romans, we're dealing with what's so special about the blood of Christ. And so we just shared with you about in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it talks about we have redemption. Verse 24 says we have redemption, and that's in Christ Jesus. So who redeemed us is Christ, all right, whom God has set forth. The word set forth means to put on public display, to be a propitiation. The word propitiation in the King James Version is a big word, but it just means satisfaction, which means that Jesus Christ was on put on public display, openly and publicly. And he's the one that was set forth to satisfy the judgment of God through faith in his blood. Then it goes on and says, to declare or demonstrate his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare or demonstrate, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. All right, now let me try to make this clear. So it was God the Father who had a divine plan to bring about redemption for you and I, because we could not redeem ourselves. We were conceived in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. We were born with a sin nature. We all sin. We stand guilty. We can't redeem or save ourselves. Nothing we can do within our own human ability to redeem ourselves or justify ourselves before God. Our mouth is closed shut. We have no defense before Almighty God who is holy. He beholds the good and the evil. He sees all things. So God came up with a plan, and by his divine design had chosen to send his uniquely begotten son to be born of a virgin, to take upon human flesh, so that now his son, who was in perfect obedience to his father, who always did those things that was pleasing to his father, ultimately he came knowing everything that he was going to go through and experience all the suffering. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be beaten, spit upon. He knew that he was going to be nailed to a cross and lifted up on that cross, and he came here knowing he was going to be crucified, knowing that he was going to suffer the judgment of God on himself for us in our place, taking a wrath for us, and he became the propitiation or the satisfaction through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness. verse 26 says, to declare or demonstrate, I say, at this time, his righteousness. So God demonstrated his righteous character by virtue of the fact that he did not hold back his judgment against sin upon his son. The son was sinless and did not sin. He's the just one. We're the ones that were the sinners. We're the one that was the unjust one that sinned against God. But it's Christ who was dying, the just for the unjust. And God demonstrated his righteousness by judging sin upon his son for us in our place. And Christ became the propitiation or the satisfaction through faith in his blood. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus, in Yeshua, in this Jesus, the biblical Messiah that we're talking about within the context of the scripture? What it means to believe in him is to believe that you have redemption through his blood. Is your faith in his blood. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. We're not talking about just another prophet or another priest or a teacher. We're talking about the unique Son of God, the one who was manifested in human flesh, whom God had put on public display to satisfy his judgment for you. Do you believe on his death for your sins and the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you? That he, God, might be just and the justifier. See, God is just in justifying you by virtue of faith because Jesus satisfied the judgment of God for you. So God is just in justifying anyone. Doesn't matter what kind of sin you have committed in your life or what kind of sins you are committing in your life. You come to true biblical repentance and a genuine, authentic faith in Christ and in his blood, God sovereignly justifies you. He's the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, you ought to do some good works. You ought to have some good deeds. That's good. But your good deeds prescribed by any law cannot justify you before God. You better come to a true, authentic, genuine faith, totally, completely trusting in the redemptive death and shed blood of Jesus Christ, because that blood is so special. That's the only blood that can redeem you, and that's the blood, only blood, by which God would declare you righteous, that you can have justification before God. The only blood, the blood of Jesus. Let's go forward to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. But now God commended his love toward us in that while we were, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, right now, present tense, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by his life. Well, the life that's in his blood. We have redemption. We read it earlier in Ephesians 1 and 7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God loves you. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man. So God took all your sins, all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, and placed them upon Christ, God, who's not limited to time, space, and matter, who is outside of time, space, and matter, yet he's in time, space, and matter, but not limited to it. He's everywhere at one and the same time, and he sovereignly took all your sins at the same time he took everyone else's sins, and sovereignly, in his all-giving power and wisdom, placed all of our sins upon his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ had borne the sin of the whole world on his body. And then was struck by the judgment of God. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the Father God was satisfied with the travail of the soul of his Son on that cross to you and I. So Christ died for us, much more being now, watch this, verse 9, Romans chapter 5, much more than being now justified by his blood. Man, his blood. If it wasn't for his blood, man, I wouldn't be justified. I'm not justified because I go to church. I'm not justified because I'm the pastor or I went through a religious ceremony or I got baptized. All those things might be good in his place. But what is it that justifies me before Almighty God? The blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the blood of Christ will wash you from all your sins and you will stand before God holy and without blame because you've been washed in the blood of Christ and robed in the perfect righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what makes the blood of Jesus so unique and so special. And we won't get to it today, but Peter says, he uses the term, the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, how precious is the blood of Christ. And when I was younger, come up in the faith, I came up in a Pentecostal church, and I didn't really know. Well, coming up, we would hear the mother of the church, they would say, plead the blood, plead the blood. Oh, plead the blood. What's that, plead the blood? What's that, plead the blood? Just say it. Say, well, say the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Okay, the blood of Jesus. They had a saying, oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood. But I don't know what about the blood of Jesus. I mean, what about? Plead the blood, plead the blood. The devils, okay, devils out, devil with devils. I mean, okay, all right. I didn't fully know, you know. So I wasn't taught what it meant by the blood of Jesus Christ, you know. But I have a more mature understanding of the scriptures. The Bible will tell us we have to plead the blood, you know, but it's faith in the blood. You know, it's not superstitious. This is a reality, the historical fact that Jesus of Nazareth, literally, historically, in Jerusalem, is where he openly and publicly was crucified on Golgotha. And that's where he literally was nailed to a cross. And the Romans practiced crucifixion, the Jews practiced stoning. So it was the Jews that turned the Messiah, Christ, over to the Romans, and the Romans literally crucified him, and Jesus Christ had literally foretold his crucifixion, foretold that he's going to shed his blood for many. We went over that already in Matthew chapter 27, and excuse me, Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, 28. Man, you got to take this in. This is the blood of Christ. Do you have faith in what Christ done on the cross for you? His blood. Let me read that again, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Wow, thank you, Jesus. My faith is in the blood. We shall be saved from wrath. I'm saved from the wrath of God by what? The fact of the blood. I'm justified by the blood of Christ. Verse 10, for if we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by or through whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. Wow. So Christ atoned for my sins, and thus I'm reconciled to God. And thank God for the sinless, precious blood of Christ that was shed. Wow. It's in fact, when you go back and you read in over in Matthew, it's in St. John chapter 1, where John the Baptist was baptizing beyond Jordan, and he saw Jesus coming. And he stopped the baptism, and he pointed toward Christ. He pointed Israel toward the Messiah, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb, Jesus is pictured as a sinless Lamb who would offer up himself as the Old Testament priests would offer up lambs as a sacrifice and shed their blood. Christ as a lamb would shed all his blood to take away our sin. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And my faith is in his blood. I trust in the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood for me on that cross. Have you come to true genuine faith in Christ? It's all by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share this real quickly. I'm going to take you back real quick. This is over here in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Paul had got all the elders of Ephesus together, and I want to read this one particular verse real quickly here. And he says, verse 28, take heed, he tell them to all the elders of Ephesus, the leaders of the ministry in local churches. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, that's dealing with the body, over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's what we're dealing with the pastors, the overseers. To what? Feed the church of God, the assembly of God, which he, Christ, has purchased with his own blood. Thank you, Jesus. He purchased. So Christ paid a price. The church belonged to Christ. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to the bishop, the pope, the evangelist. It belongs to Christ. He purchased it. All right? I'm a pastor. I didn't purchase the church. The church don't belong to me. I didn't shed my blood for them. I didn't purchase them. Christ did. It belonged to him. And so he's telling these elders to take heed. Christ purchased the church with his own blood, the church of God, called the flock. He says, feed them. Don't abuse them. Don't beat them. Don't knock them down. Feed them. He tells them to take heed. So it behooves pastors, elders, all right, ministry leaders to take heed that how you feed God's people. So it said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Oh, how I thank God that I've been purchased with his own blood. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, yes, he said, but what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. You are bought. You purchased with his blood. I don't belong to me. I'm to glorify God now. Man, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let me take you to one other passage. Got so many minutes left. Okay, so I'm going to do part two on next week. There's so many other verses I'd never even get close to even getting to. But I want to look at one particular verse right now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Very powerful. There's so much in chapter 8, chapter 9, and in chapter 10, dealing with blood and blood sacrifice of animals, but to deal with the ultimate sacrifice that was accepted by the Father for on behalf of mankind was the one and only sacrifice to satisfy the perfect judgment of God with the sacrifice of Christ for himself. So, of himself for us. Hebrews chapter 9, I want to look at verse 12. But let me go back up. I'll start at verse 12, dealing with Christ. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer cow, sprinkling of the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Wow. So now that you've been purged by the blood of Christ and he purged your conscience from dead works, you can serve the living God. Oh, thank God for the blood of Christ. Yes, what's so special about the blood of Jesus Christ? It's the only blood that can wash you from your sin. It's the only blood that can redeem you back to God. It's the only blood that was shed to bring about redemption and salvation for the human race. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that verse again, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered up himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow, thank God you have the blood of Christ. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the two, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Thank you, Jesus. So Christ entered into the presence of God with his own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. And right now, he is currently at this very moment in a resurrected, glorified body in the presence of God for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us. What's so special about the blood of Christ? His blood is so special. That blood was the blood the Father had put in the body of Christ. That's the blood sacrifice that God accepts as a full payment for your sin debt. The only blood that can bring about your redemption. Christ shed his blood for the remission of the forgiveness of sins of many. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wow, we are justified by his blood. Much more being justified, we shall be saved by his life. So you have life only through the blood of Christ. So we're going to share more. I'm getting ready to close out, but I want to mention to you again, whenever you want to call in, the number to call is 515-605-9768. You have a question or comment, you press the number 1. And remember that the final authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless otherwise indicated. Okay? So, I'm going to read one more verse real quickly here, and I love this verse too. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Talking about our fellowship with the Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light, you walk in the light of who Christ is. You walk in the light. You have fellowship with the Father. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses you from all sin. Walk in the light and receive your cleansing by the blood of Christ. We'll see you next week. The music is on. Stay tuned in for part 2 on what's so special about the blood of Christ. God bless you and see you live next week.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.